The book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28. Brother Patrick, if you could put up that first PowerPoint up there, and we'll see how this goes. We had our missions conference last week, and the theme was Reaching Our Jerusalem, and what a theme that was, and it really got me thinking about how we can best reach our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, our goal is to reach the world. I was trying to think of the best thing to say about faith promise giving, and I preached several messages over the years regarding this, and about 2 years ago, I was looking at some notes and listening to my sermon. You know, that's quite a revealing thing to hear yourself preach. And I remember when I was in college, I took a class called Pulpit Speech. And that was before there was a whole lot of videotaping going on. And so they had me get up and preach. I mean, I thought I preached a dynamic message. And I heard, sit and watch myself during that pulpit speech class, thinking, oh man, that was pitiful. So, you know, but I listen to my own sermon sometimes just to remember what I said about those things. So 2 years ago, I preached a message that I want to at least take some of the ideas that I had from that and to show the fact of faith promise missions. Pastor Nathan would ask me, okay, what verse do I give? I said, well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is good. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I said, but then there's verse 6, for without faith it's impossible to please him. And I got thinking, I put out on the sign, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, and that's the emphasis of faith. But yet, when we talk about a faith promise offering, I think it's important that we understand some things as to the importance of these things. You know, for instance, we have in our in the back, we're going to have this given out, faith promise offering. We'll do that toward the end of the service. And so I like to explain this a little bit because we have new people that are here. We have people that always need to be refreshed on these things. I know I need to be constantly reminded of this thing. So when we have something like faith promise giving, I wanted to explain a little bit as to why we do it. And in order to be able to understand that, we first of all need to consider this word missions. What is faith promise offering to missions? What's mission? Well, I want you to look at Matthew 28, and it tells us in verse 19, that go ye therefore, the Lord Jesus, after he had resurrected from the dead, we're told in chapter 28 of Matthew, he says, go ye, speaking to the disciples, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So you have this great mandate from the Lord. Dave Barba years ago came and preached to our church. He's an evangelist. And he said this next to your Bible. And that is marching orders. These are marching orders. Now, what is the marching order? You'll see, for instance, that if you were to look at the original languages, there's one command with three modifying participles. And the commandment is to make sure that you are making disciples. And go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so what we find here is that we are to go and number two, to teach. Now that word teach, and I want you to see this back in chapter 27, verse 57. That word teach is translated in our King James Bible as disciple. Do you see that? So in other words, what Jesus is saying, that you need to go and make disciples. So you've got to, first of all, go and make disciples. You need to, secondly, baptize them. And then thirdly, you need to be teaching them. And that is the missionary mandate. And the Lord wants us to do that. Now, if you go through, and you're going to see that in the four Gospels and the book of Acts, we see that Great Commission explained in different ways. Look over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And it tells us here in chapter 16 of Mark, verse 15, and he said unto them, he says, go ye into all the world. But he tells us the content of what we're to do. And the content of that is to preach the what? The gospel. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the scripture tells us you need to go into all the world, and the word preach there is a word which means to herald the truth. Now, a lot of people today think, well, you shouldn't be intrusive. You shouldn't even talk about this, you know, religion and politics. You got to stay away from those two things. But the fact is, the Bible tells us that we are to herald the truth. Go ye therefore and to all the world and herald the gospel. That is the content of what we see in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Now, if you go over to the book of Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, Luke 24, verse 47, Jesus gives the Great Commission this way. He says in verse 46, thus it is written, it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that, notice this, repentance and remission of sins should be, and there's that word kairouso again, preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? In Jerusalem. So the scripture here tells us that when we go and we give the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you know what that means? That demands a response. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, I preach the gospel because I said that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But have you ever considered the fact that after you have said that, you ask an individual, have you personally repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be your personal Savior? See, it requires a response. It's not enough, as I mentioned in our Sunday school class, to have John 3:16 up in the end zone. We must ask people, have you personally repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be your personal Savior? And that's part of the Great Commission. And if you will do that, the Bible says there is remission of sins. Sins are taken away. It's a wonderful thing to know that all my sins, past, present, and future, were nailed to the cross of Calvary when Jesus died for my sin, and that it was paid in full. And that's why Jesus on the cross could say, it is finished. It was paid in full. And I think it was Hudson Taylor who said, And if it's been paid in full, there's nothing else left for me to add to that. All I must do is to repent. In other words, change my mind about sin. Change my mind about hell. Change my mind about God. Because I used to think that the way to get to heaven is by doing good things. You got to quit thinking that way. You need to repent of that. You need to change your mind of that. You need to understand that your sins were paid for in full on Calvary. The book of John, chapter 20. Notice John's statement regarding this great commission. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you." And notice here, "As my Father hath sent me." Now, it's important to understand that God is the first missionary. God sent His only begotten Son for your sin, for my sin, for your neighbor's sin, for that person at work. God sent His own Son. And His Son lived on this earth for 33 years, did many wonderful things. But one thing Jesus never did was sin. And when He went to the cross of Calvary, He paid, as we mentioned, the full payment for our sins. So as the Father sent Jesus, notice what He says, "So send I you." Now you cannot die for man's sin, but you can tell of Jesus who died for their sins. Why can't you die for somebody's sin? Because you're a sinner. Jesus never sinned. And so the scripture tells us that God sent Jesus Christ. And so therefore, it doesn't say you have to be a preacher. It doesn't say you have to be educated. He just says, if you are a believer in Christ, so send I you. And I'm always amazed how many parents don't talk to their children about Jesus. Or how many spouses don't talk to their spouse about Jesus. Or how many children don't talk to their parents about Jesus. Or their brothers or their sisters or their neighbors. Well, as the Father sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. Now we go over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And now we're showing you every case in the New Testament of the Great Commission. Jesus, before He ascended up to heaven, gives us a verse that we looked at last week. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you." So we know that the Holy Spirit must be in our lives if we're going to be effective missionaries. And I emphasized last week, and Brother Joe Willis emphasized, he said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." And what's the next word? Okay, some of you weren't looking. Look at verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both." So we tend to think that missionaries are those who are afar and abroad. But missionaries are those who are also within our Jerusalem. And in all Judea, which would be outlying territories, and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. So how does that work? How is it that somebody comes to Christ? I came to Christ. Have you come to Christ? Or are you like Satan who knows about Christ? Well, go over with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we're told in chapter 10, verse 9. And Paul, under the inspiration of God, says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe where? So this is a heart issue. I can't impose this on an individual. Now, I can get a person to pray. Have you ever gotten someone to pray and then you got done saying, I don't know if they really got saved? You ever done that? I've done that. They prayed a prayer. They made some kind of decision. But time gave indication they never really had it in their heart. And that you must believe in your heart. Why? In verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now I've often said this. If you look at verses 13 through 15, you'll see the missionary calling. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name, verse 13, of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And then shall they call on him in whom they have not, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Now, if you work that backward, this shows you how a person comes to Christ. First of all, we see that in verse 15, somebody is sent. As the Father sent me, so send I you. So you go to this individual, and you want them to be saved. What must you do? Well, you are the preacher. So that's the next thing in verse 15. A preacher, you must preach. You have to share the gospel. You know, sometimes we think that if we're just nice people, people would just be all excited and they'll want to come to Christ. But the Bible says you must preach. Preach what? Mark 16:15, what are you to preach? The gospel. And then it says, they hear, verse 14. Now, have you ever noticed sometimes a person's not paying attention? I'm preaching to you. I can look at some people and I think, I don't think they're with me. You know, they look around, they yawn, their watch, they see their phone. And you wonder, are they even paying attention? See, a person must listen. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. I made the comment, something that Steve Hicks out in Washington said. He said, some of my best sermons are destroyed by poor listening. And sometimes people are not paying attention. And he gives the parable of the sower, Jesus does. And he said, take heed how you hear. Now, how can you make sure a person's paying attention? Yo! You know, you do all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, I've done that, and people, they're doing that. You know, and obviously, you're trying your best to get people paying attention. Now, when I'm witnessing, but I don't hit the table or anything like that. But I'm witnessing, and I'm saying to them, now, did you get that? What does that verse mean? How does this apply to you? What is sin? I don't know. You know, and so you're trying to get them to pay attention. You're trying to get them to hear. And then it says, not only is somebody sent, somebody is preaching, and somebody hears, and what happens after they hear? Verse 14, it tells us that they believe. Wow. The lights come on. You know, it's in situations like this I've seen people cry. I've seen people get scared. And even like the Philippian jailer say something like, what must I do to be saved? So they then have to, verse 14, call on the name of the Lord. Now think about this. So they're sent. You're sent. You preach. They listen. They believe. And they say, Jesus, save me. Is that all that's necessary to get saved? Absolutely. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. See, that is the mission mandate. This is huge. Some people think missionary work is going and feeding the poor or healing the sick. Yes, Jesus fed the multitudes. Jesus healed the blind, the lame. But it was all for the purpose for him to say, believe in me. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder how much missionary work we have done this last year. Sometimes I look back and I think, man, it's been a while since I've given the gospel to somebody. Yeah, but I went out on visitation. Well, why do we go out on visitation? So that they can hear the gospel. So missionary endeavor is crucial. But we're talking about this whole idea of faith promise, mission. Not only is missionary work important, giving is important. Giving is crucial. If you look over to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'm hoping you're listening. Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he, being Jesus, went throughout every city and village. What was he doing? Preaching and showing the glad tidings. That's what gospel means, good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. But there were a certain type of people that were following him. What are they called in verse 2? They were certain. Anybody looking at your Bible? Certain women. You know, the Bible says a lot about godly women. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene. Verse 3, and there was Joanna, the wife of Chuza. This is Herod. Now, you know who Herod is? He's the king. His steward was there. And Susanna, and many others. And notice these words, which ministered unto him. Who's him there? That's Jesus. And well, how did they minister to Jesus? Of their... In other words, they gave financially to the work of Jesus. Wouldn't that have been great to have been able to financially support Jesus? He would go from one town to the other. He didn't have anywhere to sleep sometimes. He didn't have any particular promise of food. Now, of course, Jesus didn't need their money. Matter of fact, we're told of one story where Peter was being criticized by people that he didn't pay their taxes. And he goes and tells Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He said, Peter, go fishing. And when you catch that fish, open the mouth, and there'll be money there to pay your taxes. Jesus didn't need their money. But yet Jesus was financially supported by these women. If you go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, notice with me verse 1. Now here we come to the story of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, of course, we focus on those two men, Barnabas and Saul. In verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, it's fascinating to me that God used them because they were already serving the Lord in their local church. And it says here, they fasted and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so this local church of Antioch sent out missionaries. It's kind of like our church. Our church sends out missionaries because we can't go into all the world, but we have other people who go into the world. And what are they doing? If they're not preaching the gospel, we don't need to be supporting them. So we have the Bakericks in the Philippines, and we have the Benders in Scotland, and we have Juanita Garland in Brazil, and her son-in-law, Isaias, I always have a hard time saying his name, Javinos in Brazil. The Frews are in Hungary, and the Houts going up to Alaska. And then we have a missionary over in Russia. We support Brother Herbster at Vance USA. We support the Herbsters in Hong Kong, the Olsons in Toronto. We support the Hitz family in the Baffin Islands in Canada. We support the Hughes in Moldova, the Jones in Thailand, the Kinneys in Germany, the Lovegroves in Mormon country. We support the Threlfalls in South Korea and his son, who is in India. We support G.S. Nair in India. We support Jennifer Pearson in Papua New Guinea. We support the Rickards, who are in the United States doing different ministries. The Van Gelderens up in Wisconsin, who, by the way, preaches to teens all over the country. We support Levi Schooley, who, by the way, was one of our missionaries, left our church and eventually went to the mission field. We have the FBF, and we have Brother Willis. See, these are missionaries that we're sending out. And it's important that we understand that we want to support them. Now, if you go over to the book of Malachi, Malachi is the last book of your Old Testament. And in Malachi chapter 3, notice how God writes to these Jewish people, and he says in verse 8, "Will a man rob God?" Now, how could somebody go up to the throne room of God and steal his throne? Well, he said, this is how you rob God. You have robbed me, how? In tithes and offering. Now, it's not my purpose to preach on tithing this morning. I do that usually in January. But what is a tithe? It's 10%. Very simple math. Take what income you have, give 10, you know, take your calculator, find out 10%. And give it, as it says in verse 10, into the storehouse. And of course, in our case today, in the New Testament, that refers to the local church. But what about verse 8 when it says tithes and what? Offerings. What is an offering? An offering is anything that is above your tithe. So you can't really give legitimately to missions if you're not tithing. See, and this is why the scripture tells us that we should give our tithes and our offering. And if you go over to the book of 2 Corinthians, are you with me? I'm exercising your Bible knowledge this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it tells us that there were two churches that we see here in verse 1. They are churches of Macedonia. Now, what are the two churches of Macedonia? Now, if you were to get on a map and look at that, you'd see in the New Testament, they're the church at Philippi, and they're the church at Thessalonica. So as a result, we have the book of Philippians, we have the book of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And we're told here that they, verse 2, in great trial of affliction, in their deep poverty, they weren't rich, but they abounded unto the riches of their liberality, which means they gave generously. They first gave themselves. And then after they gave themselves, they were generous. Now what was going on here is that in chapter 8, if you look at verse 10, at the end of the verse 10, now I'm trying to do a little Bible study with you. At the end of verse 10, you have two words. What are they? Year ago. So a year prior, they had committed to the church in Corinth. They had committed to give to the missionary project that was going on in Jerusalem. There was poverty. There was a dearth of the land and people were starving. So they decided a year prior to give toward that missionary work. Then the scripture tells us in verse 11, now therefore, what's the word? Perform the doing of it. So he was challenging the Corinthian church by the giving of the Macedonians. And they were giving to that work. And we could speak a lot about giving, but my point that I'm making here is this. Not only does the Bible teach missions, it teaches giving to missions. The third thing we see is that not only do we see missions and giving, but you got to have integrity. Integrity. You know, I can get up here and we'll do this and we'll say, okay, how many are willing to give to missions? Some people say, oh, I'll give all of this. But they never followed through. They didn't intend to follow through, only if they hit the lottery. You know, you heard the story about the guy that he said, preacher, he said, man, if I had $1 million, I'd give you half of $1 million. He said, well, that's wonderful, George. He said, what would you give if you had $100,000, would you give $50,000? He said, well, yeah, I'd do that, preacher. He said, well, let me ask you this, George. If you had two cows, would you give one of those cows to the Lord? And he says, now, preacher, you know I have two cows. See, people will sometimes give what they don't intend to give. But the Bible tells us that there is an importance of integrity. If you go over to the book of Ecclesiastes, because this is what we're after this morning. Now, Ecclesiastes is right after the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is right after the Psalms. So if you go to the middle of your Bible, you'll come to the Proverbs, and then you'll go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, notice Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4. Now, notice these words. When thou vowest a vow, he says, if you are doing this unto God, see, this is what we're asking people to do. We want you to vow to God that you would give to missions. He says here, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. See, some people don't have enough character to pay their bills. And the scripture tells us that's not legitimate giving. It'd be better to not make a promise if you're not going to follow through. Go over with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5. And if you'll notice there in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 33. He says, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. Now, to forswear means to commit perjury. And he says, it's been said, thou shalt not commit perjury unto thyself, and thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. See, some people were thinking, okay, if I promise to God, now that's important, but if I promise to somebody else, it's not important. And some people are that way. They don't pay their bills. They won't They don't keep their words. I'll be there. They don't. They're constantly committing fraudulent claims. Now, what is Jesus saying? He said, don't swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Now what is he saying? He's not saying don't ever make a promise. People make promises all the time. I'll buy that car, or I'll buy this house, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. He's not saying don't make a vow, because in Ecclesiastes, he said, it's okay to make a vow, just make sure you follow through. But what does Jesus say? He says in verse 37, let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. See, some people think that, you know, I know in growing up, we were always told, you know, man, if you're really serious, he said, I'll do that. Cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. You know, we'd say that. Or here's some blood, put it on you, you know, blood brothers, you mean it. Or I swear in a stack of Bibles. You know, we say that in a law, in court of law. So we swear on the Bible. What Jesus said, you know, your character should be of such a nature that when you say yes, you mean yes. And when you say no, you mean no. So integrity is important. And then finally, faith is important. Faith is important. See, we're talking about faith, promise, giving. Now, I do want to read something that I had gotten from Gene Gerganus, a book he wrote called Investing in Eternity. And he talks about trusting God in faith, promise, giving. And he says, faith and promise are concepts that most people understand. Faith is believing or trusting. And a promise is declared as a declaration that you can expect this to happen. This is what we're talking about. He says there's four exercises of faith. Number one, the first exercise of faith and faith promise giving comes in seeking God's direction in determining the amount of one's faith promise offering. So to give a tithe is relatively simple. But when you're saying, okay, I'm going to give to mission, this is how much, and I believe God wants me to give this much to missions. So that requires faith. And that's a great thing to exercise faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He says the second exercise of faith is trusting God to supply one's need. Now, I want to read this because this is helpful. Now, young people will probably be coming in at any moment. But I want us to follow this. He says the second exercise of faith is trusting God to supply one's needs. He said, please note that it was not said to trust God to supply the amount one has promised. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, I think God wants me to give $1 million. And if God wants me to give $1 million, I'll do it. But it doesn't come in, I don't give it. That's not what we're asking. He says responsible people live by a budget. Once a faith promise is made, it should go into the budget along with the tithe and along with other offerings and telephone bills and groceries and etc. In this way, the faith promise offering is incorporated into regular expenditure. So in other words, you look at your budget. And I said to my wife this morning, how much do we want to give? We've been talking about it. And she said, do you ever get to the budget? No. I need to go look at my budget. So as a result, I said, well, let's at least give what we gave last year, but let's see if we can increase that. You know what she always tells me when I say how much? She said, well, you always give a little bit more each year, don't you? I knew she would say that. So we're praying about how much. Now, on our card, we're going to put down what we did last year. But I do want us to be able to stretch our faith a little bit. That God will provide our needs. Last year I gave more than I thought, oh, I hope this works. And it worked. Now he says, an alternative view is this. Another view of faith promise giving is often presented. This view teaches that one's faith promise offering is given only as God supplies it. Have you ever heard that? Well, if God gives the money, I'll give it. Now, they'll blow it on all kinds of stuff. But that's not what we're saying. We're saying, okay, I believe God, and looking at my budget, can give this much. I can give this much to missions. Nobody knows how much you're giving. This isn't a promise between you and our church. This is a promise between you and God. It's exciting to walk by faith. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. It just might be a stretch of faith. He says, a faith promise must be honored just as a mortgage payment. Tell them, come on in, Brother Joe. All right, come on in, be quiet, just like your parents are. All right, sit next to your parents. All right, thank you guys. Let the chaos begin. So, in other words, we're saying, okay, I'm going to trust God based on what I see financially, but I'm going to trust God that this can be given toward mission. Now, you might have to say, well, it means one less hamburger. Or maybe it means doubling up on you know, not getting as much groceries or whatever it might be. So it's promising God to give. The third exercise of faith comes in recognizing how and when God supplied it. Have you ever just promised, say, now, Lord, I'm going to trust that you'll do this, and then you forget about it? Why not say, God, thank you? And then the fourth exercise of faith, I mentioned what my wife said, he says, is the exercise of faith eventuates in an increase in the faith promise offering year by year. And he says, giving is a grace, as we saw in 2 Corinthians. That is enabling by God to give. And just one needs to grow in the grace of living, so one also needs to grow in the grace of giving. And it's been exciting to see that over the years. Now, I wanted the young people to see this. Now, this little card we have, and if the ushers can pass out these faith promise cards, I'd appreciate it. Now understand, no one's going to check up on you. This is between you and the Lord. But what it does do is it gives us an idea as to how much we can anticipate in the area of faith promise giving. Now, if you'll notice there, you have this faith promise. And if you note that, you'll see that the faith promise, there's a upper section, there's a long. Can I get one of those, Brother Joe? For some reason, I can't find mine. Now I got to give twice as much as I. No, I can't do that. All right. Now, basically, this says this: believing that the Lord would continue to meet my needs, I promised to give him, and there's a blank there, per month for missions. This is above my regular tithes and offerings that I am now contributing to the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. I understand that this money will go to the expansion and enhancement of our missions program. Now, on the second part, there's a card there, and you just pull that apart. And this is what I'm asking you. If you'll do it, it's between you and the Lord. You can write down your amount, which I'll do, since I lost my other one. And put whether you're an adult. Now, if it's a teen or a child, parents, help me here. Because a child might say, I'm going to give $10,000, you know. Yes, sir. Oh, anyone needed something to write with? No, I guess not. So make sure the decimal's in the right place when we add this up, okay? And we will give, and then you can fold this in half. If it's a child, that helps us to know. And what I'm saying here is this, okay? So you take that top part, you can keep that in your Bible, whatever, and you turn in this other part. But I want to show you something. Why do we do this? Well, the first 10 years of our missionary giving, if you notice, in 1987, we started the church in 1986. In 1987, we thought, well, this is what we'll do. We'll give 10% of the income of our church to missions. That's what we ask people to do personally. And I've been doing that for years, giving at least 10% of my income to the Lord's work. Well, we did that for the first 10 years, but then somebody said to me, and it was Brett Koontz, I think I explained this before, Brett Koontz said to me, well, preacher, why don't you do Faith Promise Missions? And I explained to him, I said, well, I'm afraid if I did Faith Promise Missions, somebody, number one, either promise something that they won't keep, or number two, that it would rob Peter to pay Paul. In other words, take from the church. So I said, I'm not too sure if I buy it. He said, oh no, preacher, it's not that at all. It's just like the way I explained it to you. So we started in 1997. In 1998, we almost gave as much in 2 years, and we're a small church, aren't we? We gave as much in 2 years almost than we did the first 10 years. Well, if you look at this and you do the math, you see after Faith Promise up until 2006, I'm not sure why I stopped there, we gave $204,000 to missions. Now, so the first 10 years, we gave that much, $25,000. The second 10 years, we gave $204,000. And then, the last time I did this, I showed last year, the year before. But for the last 17 years of our ministry, this is how much we have given to missions. So, the total given to missions in our church, and it doesn't affect our budget because it's not the normal giving, $743,000. Do you realize that that is almost $750,000 that this little church gave to missions? Now, I say that by way of encouragement to help you to see this is why we do this. We only do it once a year. If you're visiting, you don't need to give. This isn't, we're not trying to get that. Though we did have 1 year somebody visiting and they heard this presentation, they started giving, been giving ever since from another state. I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm just saying that God has allowed us to support all those missionaries. We don't just give them $5. We give quite a bit of money to them. So, this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to basically fill these cards out. And if you would, no one's pulling your arm or trying to guilt you into anything. But I just want you to get in on giving to missions. And I want us to pray that God would allow us to see what He'll give. Now, what we do with this is we take these cards, we'll add them up, we'll do that this morning, and then we'll see what actually does come in the next 3 months, and then we'll see if we can give more to missions. Right now we're giving about $2,850, I think, to missions a month. So let's ask God's blessing on this, and this is our opportunity to trust in the Lord. And many of you have been doing this for years, so I'm not having to twist your arms at all. And I'm not trying to twist anybody's arms, but I'm just trying to help you to see that God can meet our needs through this method. It's a method, but it incorporates missions, it incorporates giving, it incorporates integrity, it incorporates faith. Now, Lord, as we give, take this opportunity to give to missions, I ask, Lord, that you would use our time to be an encouragement to our brethren, that you can provide our every need. And we'll praise you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now I'm going to ask, if you will, you can fold this, no one can see it, just pass it down. The ushers are going to come down, and we're going to just see. We'll let the Holy Spirit set a number for us as to what we can give to missions. Pastor Nathan's going to come up. Brother Tom called me yesterday and said, "Man, I have a terrible cold." And I said, "Well, how are we going to calculate this faith promise mission without you?" You know, he said, "Oh, somebody can do that." And I knew he could, and Pastor Nathan agreed to do that. If I can take this from you. And we'll just add the numbers, and we'll see. And if we can come up with at least $2,850, that helps us support our missionaries. We have a couple missionaries that have left the field, so we'll be able to see what we can do. All right, let's see if Pastor Nathan can keep track. I'm glad I'm not doing that because I mess up every time I do that kind of thing. All right, in no particular order, I'm going to just read these off. Okay, we have, I guess I should have opened them. Let me open these.
Are you reading them right?
No, I just need them opened. I don't have to spend so much. Though I'd give you more time to double-check your calculation, I guess. All right. Okay, I got enough to keep us going. Okay, the first one is $5 per month from a child. That's a blessing. And I think it's encouraging to encourage our children to give to missions. $300 a month from an adult. $230 a month. $20 a month, $65 a month, $50 a month, $433 a month, $5 another child, and $350, $50. How are we doing? How's that? What's it give us? $1,500. I praise the Lord for that. $40. $200. $5. I think that's 100, isn't it?
Yes.
That's 100, yeah. And $30. And $10, what is that right now?
Just under $2,000.
Under $2,000, $50. And $520. So $2,463. So praise the Lord for that. And we will see what actually comes in. And we'll just trust the Lord that we can just keep giving to missions. And this is what it's all about. And maybe if for some reason you didn't feel led to do that, maybe you're like me. You think, okay, I think I need to increase that a little bit. Please do so. And that would be a blessing. And all God's people said, amen. So 24, what was it?
2,463.
Amen for that. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to give. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be able, be your grace, be your will, to take on other missionaries. And Lord, may the actual giving be a blessing to our church for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's stand. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. What number is that? Anybody know? Number 44. Pastor Nathan, you come and lead us in that song.
All right, we'll sing the first verse and the last verse. To God be the glory.
One quick announcement, as Pastor mentioned as he was walking out. I alluded to earlier, and even as we saw through the message this morning, I was with the children, but what we got to sit on in was great. But we're continuing our missions conference just a little bit today. And so tonight, we're going to have a shorter worship service time, and then we're going to have a quick meeting talking about some of the things that came up during missions conference. If you were here for the question and answer time on Wednesday, we got some really good answers to just reaching our own community. And so tonight, we're going to have a quick meeting and just say, okay, we've had this missions conference. What are we going to do about it? What are some things as a church that we can embrace and really try to work on? Maybe we'll start small. We will start small, but what are even some long-term goals that we can have as a church to say, here's how we're going to try to get into Fort Riley some more. Here's how some things we should maybe try to do over at Kansas State or just in the community in general. So please bring your ideas tonight. I told Pastor Byford, I said, I have a few thoughts, but I hope our church family will really participate and give some thoughts and ideas as well. And just to kind of start you thinking, I've gone ahead and I've just put some, I think I've even listed it, food for thought or something like that. I've given little half sheets of paper, and I put them in the lobby. It'll just get your mind thinking so you come prepared tonight to contribute in the meeting, to say, hey, here's something that I felt burdened about. Here's something I think our church should try to do. Here's what I can do as well. And so I hope you'll grab one of those on the way out. Pastor, where are those? Are those still in that? Okay, nope, that's great. So where that food was, where the food was this morning, we're going to have a stack of papers. Please grab one on the way out. Just at least look over it. That way you can't come to the meeting and say, well, I had no heads up about this. I'm not going to say anything. I hope we can come and really just have a good family discussion and say, are we doing the best that we can as a church of reaching our communities right here around us? Because if not, what are some things that we can be doing better? And so I hope that the Lord will keep burdening your heart like he's been burdening mine. And I trust all of us through our missions conference this week. And even if you weren't able to be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or you weren't able to be here at all, then come to the meeting and you'll learn some of the stuff that we got to hear about. But let's just put our heads together and pray that the Lord will give us direction as we seek to be reaching our own community. Pastor has an announcement as well. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's close in prayer. I trust the Lord will give you a good afternoon. Let's come back tonight ready to worship the Lord, even as we look at what it means to worship the Lord a little bit and then have our meeting afterward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that you have done for us. Lord, you've sacrificed in so many ways that even this money that we are raising for missions and the commitment that for many people here, Lord, it's a serious commitment, one we do take seriously, and for many even a very sacrificial commitment. But Lord, I pray that we would give trusting you, we would give in faith, as was emphasized this morning. And Lord, may you use this money for missions all around the world. Lord, I pray also that you would just help us to be burdened for our own mission field right around us. Bring us back this evening as we talk about that. Bring us also back to just hear your word and to be able to sing and worship you together. Thank you for this time. Lord, thank you that you are a worthy God to be praised. And I pray that you have been glorified, not just through the external praise, but Lord, in our hearts as well. I pray that you would be with us as we're dismissed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed. Thank you for coming.